Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, I'm going to get into a message, but before I did that, I actually wanted to have a chat to a great young man in our church that I just really wanted to just honor and let him share his story, and that is Harry Page. Can we welcome Harry, everyone, as he comes up? I've asked Harry just to come and tell us how he came to Christ. Harry's been following the Lord and in this church for 4 years now, and he had a radical transformation, so I just wanted to hear his story and for you to hear it. So take it away, Harry. We want to hear your story.
Hello. It started all at Macquarie University, where I met a man called Michael Forsyth, and so he is now my best friend, but I met him when I was quite the heathen. And so anyway, I was doing all things wrong, not following the Lord, and we started to become really good friends, and we bonded over our love of Marvel movies, so that was
sort
of our main point of contact up until that point. But then I felt this conviction in my spirit that one day I would stand before God when I die.
Right.
And I went, so how do I get to God?
Wow.
And I sort of asked myself that. And I'd grown up in a Christian-esque home. So I'd been to Sunday school before, but I didn't really like it at all. So I thought, well, what's another religion that I could try and do to get myself to God? And I thought of Islam. So, and that was something that was really appealing to me. It was just mystical. It was, you know, very different. So I committed myself to doing 1 year of Islam. And so I was going to the mosque 5 times, you know, or every Friday they go to the mosque for their main worship, praying 5 times a day, doing all those sorts of things. But throughout it, I didn't know God.
Right.
And I just had a big sense of condemnation and guilt whenever I would approach God and try and get forgiveness. But that's when Mike and I started sharing about our faiths. And so he started sharing about his revelation on Jesus Christ and what Jesus had done for him. And so that's when he asked me a question that sort of flipped my whole world upside down. And he said, how can you, an imperfect person, you've all made mistakes, you've made many, I know that. And I was like, okay.
That's a good friend.
Yeah, and you know, and I said, yes, I'm imperfect, but how can you stand before a perfect God
right. And
expect to be led into heaven? And I didn't have an answer for him. So that was sort of when he started telling me about Jesus Christ and the grace that God had given him and the gift that he had given him, which is salvation. And so when I saw that, I was convicted and knew that Mike knew God the way that I wanted to know God. And so I was very stubborn and resistant at first, and I thought he's just making up a bunch of lies. I thought I had the truth, but I didn't. And then he brought me to the church. And then after that, I encountered Jesus in a really powerful way and decided I need to follow Christ. I need to repent and put my trust in him. So
amazing.
I did.
Mm. Come on, let's give Harry some. It's so good. God is just so good. And Harry, you just love being able to do the same for other people. And I love that story of how simple it is that Mikey really just reached out in friendship. And started that journey. And Mikey and Harry both, they see so many people come to Christ and just so many miracles happening in their workplaces and in the places that they go out and minister together. But what I love about Harry is he was talking to me before where he said that he's realized just how simple helping people take a step closer to Jesus is. And Harry, you told me about one story of just recently you were praying for a solution for your work kind of space. And tell him about that.
Yeah, so I mean, So what I do, I work in sales in the financial services sector, so there can be many problems that come at you, and sort of as a team leader, you have to know some really good, wise solutions, and so I just walk around the block a couple of times just praying for an answer, and then I get an answer, come back and tell my team this is how we're going to do it, and they sort of go, how did you come up with that? And then that's sort of a question where I can then bring in God and say, well, you know how I just said I'd step outside the office? It was just to pray and seek God and find wisdom.
Woo.
And so that's...
Yeah. It's so good, man. It really is so simple. And people are so open if we just take the time. Pastor Richard was preaching in our earlier service, and he said, we just need to say g'day more. We just need to actually smile and say hello more. And man, we are just so privileged to have you at this church. We love you. He serves in so many different areas in our production team, but also in our healing service. He prays for people and is just such a great young man. In fact, our healing service is today. straight after this service at 12 p.m.
Come along.
Which is, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You might get Harry to pray for you, which would be great. And but we do love you, man, and we're really grateful for you. I actually wanted to get you up just because I really like you, and I'm really grateful for you, and I just wanted everyone to hear your story. So come on, let's thank Harry today. You're such a legend, man. Love you, buddy.
Thank you.
It's awesome. As you think about who you can share and encourage, let's also think about those that are doing that. Nick Gibb, Josie, Harry, Mikey, the Forsyth, all these people that are always bringing Marcia Percival. Where is she? She's always here, and she's always bringing a guest and always bringing helping someone find peace and find a little bit more of the puzzle. And I think we should also not only just be praying for who we can reach out for, but keep praying for these guys who obviously have a gift to do this and such an anointing on their life. But I know that they would want to say to me that, yes, they do have a gift, but they always tell me this. Make sure you let everyone know you all have a gift, and we can all reach out to someone, smile, say hello, and make a difference. Amen? Amen. Let's clap, because it just feels like a good moment to clap. And we're done, and we move on, which is good. We want to talk about this. Lord, help me. I pretty much pray that every few minutes. And what surprises me, and it shouldn't surprise me, but it does, is that He does. That I can be in the midst of a really complex situation, a reasonably complex situation, or just something that I'm just not quite sure what to do, and I can cry out and say, Lord, help me, and He does. And the reality He has given us a helper, and that helper is not a force, it's not some weird mystic being, it is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, who the Father promised would leave us to help us in all of our times of need. So in John 14, as Jesus is kind of wrapping up with His disciples, He's about to take the big step into His calling and purpose, which is to die a sinner's death for us, so that we, all of our sins, our transgressions would be placed on Him, but He wouldn't stay dead. He would come back. He would be resurrected to new life, so that in Christ Jesus, we can find true life and have a new life, an eternal life, so that we can be filled with the hope and joy and peace that comes from following Him. And He said that before He took that plunge, though, He said, I need to let you know that as I go into my mission, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you just with my words, though they're powerful. I'm not leaving you with just the memories of what we did together, though the memories are powerful. I will leave you a person, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit will help you. So He says, John 14, 15, if you love me, He went on, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. This other helper is the Spirit of truth. The world can't receive Him because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He lives with you and will be in you. I love that the Holy Spirit is with you. He's for you. He's standing alongside you. He's not distant. He's not kind of cheering on from the side like some awkward mum or dad. He's right there in the race with you. But not only is He with you, He's in you. So that He is intimately aware of your problems and your issues and your concerns. He is intimately aware of your failings and your sins and your shortcomings. I love the fact that the Bible says that we should come and tell God that we've messed up. God knows you messed up because He's in you. And He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. In fact, He's your very present help in that time of need. That is the God we serve. A God that is intimately aware of all of our stuff, the good, the bad, and ugly, and never leaves us nor forsakes us, but stands with us and is in us. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And He helps us. He helps us in so many ways. And this is what we're going to be doing in this series. We're going to break down all the ways that the Holy Spirit can help us. And He helps us by refreshing and renewing our souls. So that next week, my beautiful wife is going to be speaking all weekend, blessing you mums on Mother's Day, because you need to be refreshed. But you definitely need to be refreshed. But I think we all need to be refreshed. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He refreshes our souls. He leads us to truth. And so the week after, we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit has revealed truth through the Word and continues to speak to us in truth so that we know what to do and where to go. And the amazing Katie Haldane is going to be preaching in our chapel service and our 10 a.m. service. This is her official title, the favorite college lecturer. Full stop. If you ever ask a college student who is your favorite lecturer, it's Katie Haldane. This girl knows how to unpack the Word. She's created an entire app. She's about to put together, is that common knowledge? Yeah, pull together an actual translation, a Bible called Trash Your Bible, because she's passionate about people trashing their Bible, not throwing it in the trash, but getting into it and understanding it, because we need truth. And He gives us truth. And then the Holy Spirit is our comfort. And so Pastor Phil will be back on that week, and he's been talking a live stream to everyone, but talking about the comfort of the Holy Spirit, how He is our comforter. He is our counselor. He is with us, leading and guiding us. But today, we're going to talk about getting power. Because the Holy Spirit, one of the things He wants to give you is power. He doesn't want you to have to do this life ill-equipped or unequipped. He wants you to be fully assured that God is with you, and He wants to give you the stuff that can help you live this life. In Acts, when Jesus again is another take on the end, and He's now resurrected in new life, and He's about to go and be with the Father, and because it's finished, and now He's just waiting for the whole world to come and know Him and to establish His kingdom, and He is sending the Holy Spirit to help His people become kingdom people, to do the work of God. And He says, what will happen though is that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very end of the earth. What is close, what is kind of close, what's even further, and what seems impossible, the Holy Spirit is going to equip His church to be a powerful church, to reach out and change the world and bring it back into alignment with God's purpose for the world, which is the purpose He had when He created it, for it to be a reflection of Him, to be made in the image of Him, to reflect out His love, His grace, His goodness. And He is doing that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is grateful that He gives us power and doesn't just rely on us? I'm grateful. Because the believers of God need to know this, that the Holy Spirit wants to empower believers. He wants to help us first and foremost to know who they are. You need to know who you are. A lot of problems for people come from an identity crisis, and it often, if you trace it back, can be linked back to a breakdown of relationship between sons and daughters and the people that created them, their mother and father. We call it daddy issues. We call it an issue of an identity crisis where we don't really know, because who we truly are maybe wasn't affirmed. Who we truly are, we weren't really spoken into. We knew that we were biologically their son, but they never really spoke into our lives about who we are. You're amazing. You're incredible. You're gifted. You're brilliant. You're beautiful. And the Holy Spirit has come to remind us not just who our not just to repair that earthly relationship, but actually to bring us back and remind us that we are sons and daughters of God. When Jesus is baptized, he's come out of this incredible experience in the desert of a connection of God and knowing His purpose and His calling. And it says that the apostle, the Baptist, John, he baptizes Jesus. And it says as he comes up, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descended on him. And at that moment, a loud voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." In Romans 8, Paul reminds us is that you didn't receive a spirit of slavery, did you? To go back again into a state of fear. But you received the spirit of sonship and daughtership, in whom we call out, Abba, Father. He brings us to such an acute awareness of this relationship that we don't just call out God. We don't just call out Jesus. We can call out Father. In fact, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray like this, our Father. There is something so uniquely intimate about our relationship with God the Father, and the Holy Spirit wants to remind you again of who you are, that you are a daughter of God the Father. You are a son of the Father. When that happens, it is the Spirit itself giving supporting witness to what our own spirit is saying, that we are God's children. So there is a spirit on the inside of you who, when you receive Christ, comes alive into new life, and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, saying to the rest of you, hey, you're a son. Hey, you're a daughter. Why are you afraid like that? Why are you talking like that? Why are you doing those things? You are a son and a daughter, and the rest of you is kind of rebelling against that truth. But the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you for you to know that you know that you know that before you're anything else, before you're here just as a church member, before you're here just to be on a team, before you're here to be God's people even, you are His sons and daughters. The Holy Spirit enables and empowers us to know who we are, to know what to do. I've said these things to you while I'm here with you, but the Helper, it says, the Holy Spirit, the one the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything. He will give back to you, your mind, everything I've said to you. He comes, and Katie's going to unpack that more, so I won't go much into that, but he comes to bring us truth. He empowers and enables us so that we know what to do, where to go, how to live. He empowers us to do mighty things. In Acts 6, there's this great story of Stephen, who was just a guy. The apostles, the church was growing, it was going crazy, and they didn't really know what to do because it was just building so much. So they said, we need to find other faithful guys just to help us distribute food. So this guy's just part of the team. He's just on team. Anyone on team here today? Come on, let's thank all of our team doing such a phenomenal job. But he's just behind the scenes, setting up, packing down, doing all the things that he needs to do. But this is what the Bible says about this great man who was the first martyr for Jesus. It says, Stephen was filled with grace and power and performed great signs and wonders among the people. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do mighty things for God. You know, we see God move all the time in this church. I would say at least once a month, I get a text message from Pastor Richard about another terminal cancer situation that God has completely turned around. This is not just coincidence, people. This is not just good luck. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is not just the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not just for the pastors. It's not just for me as your location pastor. The Holy Spirit wants to empower every believer, no matter what your position or gifting, so that your gifting is not just your gifting anymore, it is an anointed gift. So that you were gifted in an area, but suddenly the Holy Spirit gets on it, so that what you can normally do in the natural becomes supernatural, and you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. He empowers us to remain bold. Man, this is for me. I love this. The church is going through immense persecution in the book of Acts, and they don't know what to do. I love this because it's just so simple, and I'm just so simple, and God's answers are simple. So they didn't know what to do, so they went and prayed. Hello. When they had prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like Harry was saying, he didn't just go to another strategy meeting because a strategy meeting won't shake a building. He didn't just go and have a few counseling sessions with people that were older than him and could mentor him. He went and prayed. And when the believers prayed, the power of the Holy Spirit filled them again. And it says, and they boldly spoke the word of God. The Spirit brings boldness. He brings a confidence in your life so that when I am weak, I can say I'm actually strong. Because the reality is I'm weak. The reality is I'm anxious. We're not talking about denial. This kind of weird, no, I'm fine. So, speaking faith in a way that actually isn't speaking faith. You're just completely like oblivious to the fact that you actually need to help your marriage. You actually need to help your kids. You actually have got some situations going on here. And for too long, I think sometimes we can isolate believers into thinking it's not okay to be not okay. If you're not okay here today, that's okay. But you need to know this, that when you're not okay, the Holy Spirit can empower your life so that though you are weak, you're still strong. Though you're still going through stuff, you're going to make it on the other side. And here's the trick I've learned, because I'm not naturally a bold person. That might surprise you, but I'm not. I'm a reasonable pessimist, to be honest. Some of you are glass half full people. Some of you are glass half empty people. I'm that there is no glass kind of person, and the water's going everywhere and I don't even know what to do. That's my natural self. But I learned this from my pastor, Pastor Phil. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, boldness comes. The Spirit brings boldness, but this is what I learned from Pastor Phil. Your boldness will bring the Spirit. So when you're not feeling it, you can step up and say, though I am weak, He is strong, and the Spirit of God is on my life, and I'm empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit. So stuff you, devil, I'm stepping out of the boat. I'm going to have a step. I might not get it right, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep stepping. I'm going to remain bold. It might look scary. It might look messy, but God is for me, so who can be against me? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. That laugh is my Uncle Davo's laugh. It's probably the best laugh in the world, just so you know. I don't even know if it's a laugh or more of a laughing. It's just kind of like a ha-ha, and that's it. It's the best thing in the world. My Uncle Davo, everyone. David Edwards. A mighty, mighty man of God who I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are limited to what we can do in our own strength. Man, it frustrates me to see believers trying to do it in their own strength. You can't. You're not meant to. You're not meant to do it without Him, and you're not meant to do it without each other. That's why we push Connect Group so much. Why do you guys talk about Connect Group so much? Because it's biblical, and we want to stay true to the Bible. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another. Confess your areas of weakness, your areas of struggle, so that you may be healed. The Holy Spirit comes where we are limited. Because it's not by our own force or strength or good intentions or wishful thinking. It is by His power. And we may not think that we have the goods to follow God and to live successful lives, but when we live empowered by Him, we can do extraordinary things. And so I want to finish in this passage of Scripture and just apply a few thoughts, and then we're going to pray. But what we need to catch here today is the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in you. Not a kind of half version, because Jesus, come on, He got the full thing. Because again, we keep putting it down to a force or a power. He's powerful and He brings power, but He's a person. And He's not a diminishing person. He's a holy person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is our God. So He does not diminish. What do I mean by that? The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ, our Savior, from the dead. Not a version of that, not half of that. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. You're not getting it. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ 3 days after hanging on a cross, bled, dead, done, raised Christ from the dead, lives in you, 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 lives in all of us, the same Spirit. So Jesus comes and he opens a scroll. I kind of see it like a Western scene, and he just walks in and he means business. He takes a scroll, he opens up, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." But we need to take this revelation. The same Spirit that's on him is on us. And this is what he's here for. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Luke 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." So the same Spirit that is on him is on you. And so the Spirit is upon us, and he will give us the power to believe good things. The Spirit is on me to proclaim good news to the poor. So first and foremost, you need to know that the Holy Spirit empowers you, gives you the power to believe good things. It doesn't matter how messy it is. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's finished. You got to believe for good things. And it's not naivety. It's not wishful thinking. It's a spirit within you that's inspired and enabled by the Holy Spirit to believe good things. Good things are going to happen to you. Proclaim good news into your life. Get enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit and start to speak to those areas and say, it's going to be good. Because God works all things for good for those who love him and accord according to his purposes. He gave the power, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to see freedom become a reality. Can you just hold that for a sec? The power to see freedom become a reality. So though you don't feel free, you can begin to speak into that area, and you can bring other people into that darkness, and together as a community, the power of the Holy Spirit can sit on that situation so that you can begin to see it become a reality. And I love this choice of words that I've picked here. I'm just bragging on myself for a little bit because he wants to help you see, as in a reality of things that will become a reality. He wants you to see it in a finality, meaning that you're going to get free. You may not feel like you're going to get free. You may feel like you've been stuck in this situation for 10, 15, 20 years. I'm telling you, you keep walking it out, enabled by his power, you'll get free. But the way that you will get free and that it'll become a reality is that you need to see it first. You need to see this thing finished. And you say, "Oh, it's been so long." I know it's been so long, but you need to keep seeing it. "No, I'm free. I'm free. Because he, the Son, sets free is free indeed. The power of the Holy Spirit is upon me, and I'm going to preach this good news to myself, and I'm going to proclaim freedom to those that are captive. I'm free." Anyone else free here? Amen. He says that the blind will see, the power to see again. He wants to give you today the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to come into your life so that you can see again. Some of you have lost sight, lost vision. And we all have seasons of darkness, but the Spirit will come in power and illuminate a way forward and bring sight back to your life. The Holy Spirit wants to bring sight back to some of your lives. You used to dream so big. You used to have such faith for your family. You used to have such faith around your business. And it's gone dark. But you, because the Holy Spirit has anointed you, you can proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. You can speak to yourself and begin to declare, "Lord, show me the way forward." He brings sight back to those who are blind. He gives the power to break the power of oppression, that the oppressed may be set free. Let me tell you, the reason you're facing oppression, because you've already won, right? You're already victorious. So the reason you're facing what you're facing is not because you're doing something wrong. The reason you're facing what you're facing is because the devil will do whatever he can. We have a real God. He is really real, and so is the devil. And there are real assignments against your life. And don't just think that this is some sort of over-spiritualization of something. I'm telling you, there is a devil who hates you because God is in you and he hates Christ, and he will do everything he can to persuade you that the victory is not real, that Christ is not real, that your family's not really going to be looked after. You have to stand against that oppression and begin to declare the blood of Christ over your life and begin to say, no, devil, get off my family, get off my life. You have an authority on your life. I remember once I was going through some stuff with our family, and I didn't really know what to do, and I don't know if it exactly happened like this, but this is kind of how I like to think it happened. It certainly happened in this realm. Basically, Vicky Simpson walked into my office and went, Jimmy, you have authority. And she said other things that were nice, but that's all I can remember. And so my edited version of that story was that she just walked in and said, Jimmy, you have authority, and then she left. And I was standing there going, oh, yeah. And I found a new secret in my prayer life of how to actually break the power of oppression off my life and off those that are around me. And I'm so grateful that I've had a community of people who've also discovered the same gift, so that when I have the weight of oppression on me and I don't know how to fight it, I've got other people praying for me as well. Let's break oppression off one another. Let's not just comfort one another and talk about it. Let's go into a place and pray and declare the power of the Holy Spirit to break oppression off people's thinking and their lives. And finally, the power to declare favor. You're blessed. The time of favor, the time of the Lord's favor is now. And here's the deal. The time of the Lord's favor is always now. The annoying thing is, God has a very weird understanding of the word now, because he says you're blessed, but your blessing's coming, but you're blessed. He says the promises of God are yeah and amen, and sometimes the amen is just a little bit further down the road. But if you can live in a world that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, where you can say, no, the time of the Lord's favor is now, it will lift you up into the reality of that truth. And you will experience breakthrough. My wife and I have just experienced a breakthrough that has been 15 years of prayer and believing and holding on. But we have just had breakthrough. Oh, and it's so good. But then there'll be another thing where we'll be declaring the favor of God over our lives, and we will see breakthrough. All right. I'm going to finish because that's enough. But what I will say, because I got more notes, always more notes. I'll finish with this thought. I want you to take all of that I just preached around the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news, to recovery of sight, freedom, the breaking of oppression, the favor of God, that you can declare over you and your family and our family every day. But here's the reality. That the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into your life is not a power for you to hold. What they're realizing now in business worlds and in areas of politics is that for too long, the people at the top have got power and tried to hold the power. But that doesn't change anything. What happens is as they let the power go and share it around and allow others underneath and those that are not so much up the rank of hierarchy, as they release power and decision making, they find their businesses flourish and society flourishes, because power is not meant to be held at the top. It's meant to flow. And the reason the Holy Spirit has really given you power is so that you can proclaim and preach and everything that you've just done for yourself for the people in the world that don't yet know him. So that you can preach good news to the poor. You can tell your story just like Harry told his story. So that you can declare freedom and recovery to those that are in hopeless situations. So that you cannot just bring hope. Don't speak hope to people that are in despair that don't know Jesus. Be hope. Turn up. Be there. Stand with them. Offer to pray for them. And you'll offer to pray for them and they'll go, yeah, that'd be really cool. And then say, I'll do it right now. What now? I remember this guy at my work, and he was a really strong guy, and I was quite shocked when he went through some pretty internal, emotional turmoil, and I came with him, and he said, "Man, if you could, just shoot one up to the big guy." He didn't know how else to say it. I said, "I will. In fact, I'll do it right now." He's like, "What?" I said, "Fine." I said, "Come here." I said, "Thank you, Lord God, that you love this man, that everything's going to work out for good." Tears. And we're just taking people one step closer to Jesus. We're not trying to work it all out. We're just taking them one step, and you can be hope. You can declare recovery of sight to those that are blind. You can start to show them that there is hope, that there's a way forward. You can bring freedom to those that are oppressed, so that when you hear of something that's happening to someone that's unjust, even though they're not a believer, you can declare the goodness of Christ because you are a believer, and you can begin to speak to that injustice in your workplace and speak to that injustice to that university you've seen, or speak into those areas and declare the freedom of God and get a connect group around to pray for people. But He has enabled and empowered us so that we can go out and bring His power to a world who needs to see Jesus. And if you're here for your first or second time today, all I would like you to take home from this message is this reality that God is not powerless. That you've been thinking about maybe taking this step towards Christianity, or you like what you've been experienced right now, but you're kind of going, "How am I meant to change? Because I hear God changes you, and I hear things happen and things move forward, and I don't even know how to do that." And the good news is you don't need to. In fact, you can't do it. Because every bit of blessing and change that has come into my life that has made me more like Christ and more godly is only because of His power. And so the good news for you is, and what I would like you to take home today, is the fact that God is not powerless. He is not a religious bully who says, "Live this way and hurry up and work it out." He says, "Hey, I've got a better way, and I'm going to help you get there." We all need help. I need help. You need help. We have a helper.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow, so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.